Hello, fellow foodies. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to the Foodie Pharmacology Podcast. This is not your typical food podcast. As a professor and medical ethnobotanist that studies wild medicinal and food plants for a living, I have so many cool things that I can't wait to share with you. Foodie Pharmacology is a food podcast built for the food curious, the flavor connoisseurs, chefs, science geeks, foodies, home cooks, health nuts, and adventurous taste testers out there in the world. So let's dig in. In our sixth episode on the show, we're going to investigate an incredible root that comes with a kick. The use of this plant as a cooking spice or a condiment dates back at least 4,400 years ago in Asia. Today, it remains an integral part of Asian cuisine. It has a distinctive, hot, pungent aroma and flavor that is essential to many modern and traditional Asian dishes, such as curry and chutney. Historically, this plant was referred to as the great cure, the great medicine, and was one of the most essential components of household folk medicines. The wealth and diversity of chemicals present in the rhizomes of this tasty medicinal and spice plant are responsible for its flavor, aroma, and healing properties. It is consumed in many forms, fresh as a seasoning or herbal tea ingredient. It can be cooked in a sugar syrup to make candies, or it can be dried and mixed into some of our favorite baked goods like pies, cookies, and cakes. Do you know which plant I'm talking about? If you guessed ginger, you'd be right. Ginger has a long history of use as both a medicinal and a culinary herb. Its use in China dates back to at least 500 BC, and this was recorded by Confucius. The trade of ginger began with maritime circulation throughout India, China, and Indochina, and by the 8th century AD, it was commonly traded throughout the Mediterranean region. Ginger was well known in Europe by the 11th century AD, where Greeks and Romans considered it a favorite spice, second only to black pepper. Ginger has long been incorporated into folklore, and this highlights its historical, culinary, and medicinal importance. You may be familiar with the children's folktale of the gingerbread man. Gingerbread became popular in Europe under Henry VIII's recommendation to consume ginger in preventive measures against the Black Plague. Another interesting example of the cultural relevance of ginger is that of the red egg and ginger party in China. Newborns are traditionally welcomed with a special celebration, and this often includes an announcement package of red-dyed, hard-boiled eggs and ginger root. The unique spice and flavor of ginger can be found in the form of fresh or dried ginger root. The fleshy rhizome is first washed and peeled, then sliced, grated, or cooked whole. Ginger, pickled in sweet vinegar, is a common palate cleanser in Asia, accompanying meals such as sushi, while crystallized or preserved ginger is consumed as a confectionery treat. Ginger is also well known as the key spice ingredient of gingerbread, ginger beer, and ginger ale. The origins of gingerbread may date back to the ancient Greeks, who wrapped ginger in bread and consumed it after meals as a digestive aid. The dried and powdered ginger spice is also used in various recipes, such as for biscuits, cakes, puddings, soups, and pickles. How do you prefer your ginger? Personally, I like to keep a couple of fresh ginger roots in my kitchen at all times. Anytime that I'm feeling under the weather, or have a stomach ache, or just maybe need something warm and comforting on a dreary day, there's nothing quite as simple and delightful as a warm glass of ginger tea. All that I have to do is turn the kettle on to boil some water. While that's happening, I wash and peel the outer skin of the ginger root, and then grate some, maybe a tablespoon or two, directly into my teacup. Then, when the water is ready, I pour it in and maybe add a dollop of honey, and voila! I've got a delicious, warming brew. I always take a moment to relish the experience, to allow my senses to feel the hot aromatic steam on my face and deeply inhale its fragrant aroma while I wait for the water to cool just enough to be comfortable for drinking. Ginger and many of its botanical kin have played an important role in traditional medicine for millennia, especially in Asian medical systems, such as in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. Across medical systems, ginger has been used medically as a carminative and a stimulant in the digestive tract, meaning that it is used to decrease gas and bloating in the bowels. The medicinal use of ginger dates back to at least 2,500 years ago to ancient Chinese and Indian civilizations for treatments of many ailments, including nausea, rheumatism, and headaches. In Ayurvedic medicine, ginger is referred to by many Sanskrit names, most notably by ardrak. Ardrak relieves the three dosha, also known as the energies of health, and is used in this medical tradition to maintain balance of dosha in multiple systems of the body. Ayurvedic medical practices with ginger include external applications as well as ingestion. Externally, ginger is prepared as a paste with milk or water to reduce colds and swelling in young children. Ginger powder and oil are also used in massage therapy to alleviate chills, colds, and stiffness, excessive swelling, and hypothermia. Ginger's balancing action against cold is appropriate for its characteristically hot aroma and flavor. Regarding its internal use in Ayurvedic practice, ginger is believed to act upon the nervous system as a nerve stimulant to improve impulse transmission and relieve pain. Consumption of ginger prepared with honey is a classic Ayurvedic remedy for asthmatic bronchitis, hiccups, coughs, and colds. In the reproductive system, ginger is used as an aphrodisiac and sexual stimulant. Who knew? It is also used for the digestive system to improve appetite and digestion, and is anti-flatulent, helping with abdominal gas pains, and is also used to treat hemorrhoids. The use of ginger in traditional Chinese medicine is comparable to that of Ayurvedic medicine. In traditional Chinese medical theory, ginger has traditionally been thought of as a hot and spicy plant, both of which can treat coldness and weakness by mobilizing the body's reserves of qi. The Chinese distinguish between fresh, roasted, and dried ginger, attributing each with different healing properties. Fresh ginger is regarded as mildly warm, dried ginger as warm, and roasted ginger as hot. All forms of ginger, however, have an opening up or loosening effect according to this medical theory, enhancing the body's ability to integrate external stimuli. This assimilating property pertains to effects of certain foods and relates to perceptions of ginger's impact on the digestive system. In traditional Chinese medicine, ginger is generally included in herbal prescriptions for digestive ailments, appetite disorders, and nausea. Following its popularity in Asia and westward spread by trade networks, Europeans took notice of ginger's activity on the digestive system as well. The laxative properties are described by the first century physician and scholar, Pedanius Dioscorides, who traveled the Mediterranean with the Roman army during the time of Nero, and is best known as the author of the renowned text, De Materia Medica. Centuries later, Henry VIII recommended the use of ginger in curing or preventing the Black Plague, as by 1416, preserved ginger was a common import from China. The scientific name of ginger is Zingiber officinale, and it is a member of the Zingiberaceae family and the order Zingiberales. The specific origin of the species is unknown, but it is most likely to originate in tropical or subtropical India. The underground rhizomes of ginger, which are the part of the plant most commonly used in food and medicine, have thick tuberous lobes with yellowish brown to pale buff external surfaces with few scales. When the skin is peeled, the aromatic rhizomes appear as a pale yellow to white colored in flesh. The optimal conditions for cultivation of ginger include an elevation of 300 to 900 meters above sea level and around 2 meters of rainfall per year minimum. Today, ginger is commercially cultivated in at least 34 countries spanning Asia, Africa, the Americas, and Oceania. Plants are propagated by planting rootstock cuttings, and the rhizomes are harvested in different stages dependent on their intended use. Green ginger is harvested before 5 months have passed since their original sowing, and dry ginger is harvested between 7 to 8 months after planting. Green ginger is most commonly used as a preservative, while the older dry ginger is more common for use in food preparation. The chemical makeup of ginger extracts is dependent upon the origin of the variant and the condition of the rhizomes, especially whether they are fresh or dried. The secondary metabolites responsible for the pungency of fresh ginger, the gingerols, are transformed into dehydrated shogalls, responsible for the pungency of dried ginger. The most medicinally active chemicals present in ginger rhizomes are components of the volatile oil and the non-volatile pungent principles, the gingerols and the shogalls. Other components include fats, waxes, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and zingibane, which is a proteolytic enzyme. There are over 50 components that make up ginger's volatile essential oil, and this is what is responsible for the aroma of fresh ginger. The oil includes monoterpenoids like beta-phylandrene, camphene, cineol, geraniol, curcumin, citral, terpeneol, borneol, and sesquiterpenoids like alpha-zingiberine, beta-sesquiphylandrene, and beta-bisabolene. Complicated names, but they all come together to yield an amazing aroma. In addition to these lovely aromatic volatile compounds, there are other more pungent constituents in ginger that are responsible for the hot taste sensation that the rhizome elicits. These include the gingerols, shogalls, pyridols, gingerdiols, and the gingerones. Now that we know a bit about the chemical makeup of ginger, you may be wondering, well, what about the pharmacological activity? That's the point of this show, right? Right. Well, the results, unfortunately, are not so simple to describe, as they can often be contradictory. One possible explanation for discrepancies in the scientific literature is the variability in chemical composition of the studied ginger, which is also, of course, impacted by its growing conditions, its age of harvest, and any post-harvest processing practices. Standardization of ginger products used in research is essential to clarifying its medicinal effects under rigorously controlled conditions. I don't know about you, but thinking of all of these amazing aromatic components to ginger has me dreaming of a lovely herbal bath or skin cream with these compounds. I am a sucker for really good herbal skin treatments, and the essential oil of ginger is one of my favorite ingredients in massage oils or body butters and body scrubs. For me, part of the draw is the amazing scent that it emits, and of course the relaxing, warming sensation that it promotes. Like any essential oil, though, I know to never ever put the oil directly on my skin, as it really represents a power bomb of super concentrated plant compounds and could lead to a skin reaction. To avoid that, I simply dilute the essential oil in a vegetable oil base like almond oil or olive oil or coconut oil, or even a commercial cream base before applying it to my skin. Okay, let's get back to the pharmacology, because this stuff is pretty fascinating. So if the studies are conflicting, how do we know what ginger actually does? Well, there are some studies that have really held true and held up over the past few decades that are worth exploring. For example, the anti-inflammatory activity of ginger has been demonstrated not only in vitro cell-based assays, but also in animal studies and eventually in some human clinical studies. This anti-inflammatory and soothing action observed is thought to be due to the gingerols and shogols, those pungent compounds we mentioned earlier, that act by inhibiting both cyclooxygenase and lipooxygenase pathways that are involved in inflammation processes in the body. Now, the gingerdiones and shogols, on the other hand, have properties that mimic dual-acting non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs in vitro, at least, in the cell-based assay. Other demonstrations of anti-inflammatory action have included ginger's action against cytokines that are secreted at inflammation sites. Those are basically your inflammatory signaling molecules. Ginger can modulate some of those pathways that are activated in chronic inflammation, and ginger extracts have been shown to suppress these pro-inflammatory cytokines and chemokine signal expression pathways. Lastly, ginger also contains many potent antioxidant compounds that can also contribute to the overall anti-inflammatory effect. Another activity that has been well studied involves the anti-emetic or nausea-reducing effects attributed to ginger. If you've ever suffered from motion sickness or morning sickness or any kind of chronic nausea or intermittent nausea, you may be familiar with the use of ginger for this purpose. So here's some clarity on the situation. We know that both laboratory and animal studies suggest that this ginger use may actually be effective because it can act on a number of physiological pathways in the gut. It has also been reported that consuming a gram of ginger powder daily alleviated clinical nausea of several different causes, including pregnancy-induced nausea or morning sickness, drug-induced nausea, and motion sickness. Moreover, ginger has been shown to be more effective in reducing severity of nausea in pregnant women than vitamin B6 or placebo. Some cancer preventive effects have also been noted in studies on ginger and ginger extracts. In particular, both 6-gingerol and 6-paridol were found to suppress proliferation or growth of human cancer cells through the induction of apoptosis or cell death in cell-based in vitro laboratory studies. And in mice, 6-gingerol was found to suppress promotion of skin cancers. So now that we've learned a bit more about the pharmacological activities of ginger, you may be wondering, how safe is it? Ginger root extract is generally recognized as safe, or GRAS, by the United States Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA. However, pregnant women are discouraged from using it to treat their morning sickness just because we really need more data to ensure its complete safe use for mother and child. However, the overall low toxicity of ginger and its chemical constituents have been confirmed in multiple studies, and some of the minor adverse effects observed have included heartburn, mild diarrhea, and immunoglobulin E-mediated allergy. Dangerous toxic effects have only been observed in extremely or unnaturally high dosages consumed. The potential interaction of ginger root extract with warfarin, a blood-thinning drug taken by many adults, has been studied due to conflicting evidence of blood-thinning properties of gingerols, but no evidence suggests a significant effect of ginger on warfarin. In rare cases, ginger products have caused bleeding, and if taken together with other drugs that can also cause bleeding, like aspirin, this could lead to an increased risk. So, talk to your doctor if you have any concerns. Ginger has been used over a period of millennia, both as a food and a medicine. Due to its low cost and low toxicity, it has become a popular ingredient consumed across the globe. Its pharmacological activity as an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant agent paired with its spasmolytic activity on the gut and antiemetic effects, make this one fascinating medicinal botanical species. In recent years, ginger has been subjected to further study as a dietary element to support healing and combat nausea in cancer patients. While we still have much to learn, this plant is a good place to start in the development of some serious health-boosting solutions. Next time on Foodie Pharmacology, we'll investigate one of my favorite herbs from the Mediterranean. With its dark green leaves and small blue-violet flowers, this aromatic shrub is used both as a garden ornamental and a key ingredient in most spice cabinets. We add it to roasted meats and vegetables to season up our meal, but it also serves in a number of medicinal applications for everything from headaches to hair growth. So join me next time as we explore the incredible history and pharmacology of this minty delight, rosemary. I'm Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the podcast for the food curious, recorded in Atlanta, Georgia at the Emory University Center for Digital Scholarship. Get updates on our latest episodes by following or liking the Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes. Spread the word. Tell your friends. If you've got a great idea for a future show, reach out to me. You can find me on our Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page or Twitter and Instagram at Quave Ethnobot, spelled Quaveethnobot. See you next time.